I have to put you on to Armoire, the convenient solution to effortless, fresh, and stylish dressing. With an Armoire membership, you can curate the perfect wardrobe with high-quality, unique brands tailored specifically to your taste. Simply take a 5-minute style quiz, select items from your personalized closet, then your chosen styles arrive at your doorstep in as little as 2 days. When it's time for a wardrobe refresh, just swap out your current pieces for new to you styles. I go from professional to the carpool pickup line, so I need a diverse wardrobe. With Armoire, I always have something fresh and on trend for any occasion without the clutter. I recently edited my wardrobe to staple pieces only because Armoire allows me to add new pieces monthly and return them just in time for me to do it all over again. And by renting, rather than constantly buying new clothes, I'm contributing to sustainability. Armoire is currently helping me through my chic era with all the high fashion and edgy options that I am loving. And the empowering aspect of supporting a women-founded and women-led business is so cool. With their personalized styling suggestions and diverse designer offerings, Armoire has helped me define and refine my personal style, even as trends evolve and my body changes. Whether it's a date night, a professional event, a formal affair, or just a trip to the grocery store, Armoire ensures that I am always dressed to impress effortlessly. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/murderish. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/murderish to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The opinions expressed in this episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Murderish podcast. Sensitive topics are discussed. Listener discretion is advised.
In recent years, more public awareness exists about different types of addictions. Some addictions seem innocuous, like endlessly scrolling on social media. Other addictions might not cause immediate harm, but reveal damaging consequences over time, like an addiction to sugar. Some addictions aren't yet completely understood. Take video game addiction, for example. Some could argue that frequent and long-term exposure to violent games can make you a more violent person. On the other side of the coin is denial. Skeptics don't believe that a shooting game could make someone pull the trigger on a real gun. There has long been controversy regarding whether games with violent content impact young, influential minds. Are kids really more prone to acts of aggression when they lose themselves in violent games? Or is it a cop-out to use video games as a scapegoat? In October 2007, an Ohio clergyman and his wife were shot at close range in their own home. Mark and Sue Petrick were adored by their community. No one anticipated their lives would be shattered by a senseless act of violence. The question at the forefront of this case: were video games to blame for the shooter's actions? This is Jamie, and you're listening to Murderish. Join me in exploring the case of Sue and Mark Petrick. This case takes us to Brighton Township, just outside Wellington, Ohio, in Lorain County. The small rural community is located roughly 40 miles southeast of Cleveland. Most of Brighton is made up of rolling hills and stretches of open farmland. The sleepy Midwest community offers the kind of serenity adults often seek, but provides very little excitement for teenagers. Wellington is pretty much the same. The village, with less than 5,000 residents, is slightly more developed than Brighton, but not by much. If it's any indication of how quiet life is there, in 2010, Wellington was named Ohio's Best Old House Neighborhood by This Old House magazine. It's not really the sort of vibrant place that attracts many visitors. Plenty of Americans choose to raise their families in small towns, and young people usually have to make their own fun in places like Wellington. Sometimes it leads to excessive partying. Other kids entertain themselves through social media or by playing video games and connecting with other players online. Daniel Petrick was born and raised in Brighton Township. As reported by the News Journal, he lived with his parents in a modest three-bedroom ranch home. Their backyard was open, undeveloped land with cornfields stretching for miles around. Video games were Daniel's escape. They were also his undoing. Daniel Petrick was born in August 1991 to parents Mark and Sue Petrick. Danny, a nickname used by anyone close to him, was the baby of the family and the only boy. He had two older sisters, Holly and Heidi. Daniel's early life was unremarkable. He was well-liked by other kids in the neighborhood, and he had a knack for making people laugh. Danny also got along well with his sisters. The Petricks raised their children with a strong religious foundation. Mark was a Pentecostal minister at New Life Assembly of God in Wellington. The church was Mark's home base, but he also ministered at other churches across the state. No four walls could contain Mark's passion for spreading the word of God. It was palpable to anyone he encountered. When Mark ministered at churches in larger cities like Columbus and Bedford, he was always accompanied by his wife, Sue. Complete strangers were just as receptive to the couple's preachings as Mark's own congregation. With their warm and welcoming presence, the Petricks were easy to like. The Petrick family had a loving, close-knit relationship. Mark and Daniel were particularly close. When Danny was in his early teens, he'd often go hunting with his father. Their town's wide-open spaces and deep woodlands provided an ideal setting for the father-son activity. Kathy Stiles, a family friend of the Petricks and a member of Mark's congregation, explained to the News Journal, "If you live in Wellington, you're a hunter pretty much. We've been out here when they had target practice, and it would involve some guys from the church. Gun use and knowledge of guns would have been something in which Danny was well-educated, but in a proper way." Mark and Sue took a proactive approach with Daniel's formal education, too. For most of his school-age years, Daniel's parents chose to homeschool him. He grew into a well-behaved, respectful young man who was intent on making his parents happy. On occasion, Daniel was known to have a temper. He dealt with his anger by walking away from conflict until he had time to cool down. Once Danny reached high school, Mark and Sue agreed to let him attend public school. It can be challenging for some homeschooled kids to adapt to a completely new environment. But Danny seemed to flourish at Wellington High School. He made friends easily, and his peers found him fun to be around. When Danny joined the football team, he discovered he had an above-average athletic ability. Like many teen boys all over the world, Danny developed a strong interest in video games. Some would call it an obsession. More than a few of his friendships revolved around gaming. At first, Mark embraced Danny's new hobby and saw it as just another way to bond with his son. The pair often played sports-themed games together. It felt like harmless fun in between football practice and Bible study. Mark stood firm on one rule, though. No video games with violence or explicit sexual content were allowed in their house. Danny got around this rule without too much effort. He played games like Call of Duty and Gears of War at friends' houses. In early 2007, Danny experienced a major setback when he was injured while snowboarding. The accident left him with severe spinal damage. Doctors told him to be extremely careful. Any subsequent injury could lead to paralysis. To make matters worse, Danny contracted a bad staph infection from his wounds. He was homebound on bed rest for several months and out of school for the better part of a year. Danny filled his time by binge-watching TV and playing video games for hours on end. As his health started to improve, Danny went to friends' houses to play his new favorite game series, Halo. Halo is a first-person shooter game set in the year 2552, when humans and aliens are at war. The Xbox game series is rated M for mature content, including graphic violence and partial nudity. Halo is exactly the type of game that Mark did not want Danny to play. On weekends, Danny and his friend Jonathan Johnson played video games 16 to 18 hours a day, only stopping to eat, sleep, or use the bathroom. Danny was obsessed with the Halo game series by this point and desperately wanted the latest game in the series, Halo 3, but he knew his parents would never let him bring the game into their house. September 25th, 2007, marked an important day in gaming history. It was the day the highly anticipated Halo 3 was released. The game broke records as the highest-grossing video game within 24 hours of its release, making $170 million in sales. Just before midnight, Danny sneaked out of his bedroom window to join other devoted Halo fans in line to buy the game. He successfully bought it, but his mother caught him climbing back into the house. She woke up Danny's father, who grabbed the game and threw it in his lockbox, which was also where Mark happened to stow his gun. Here's the real dynamic duo of business growth, you and Shopify. Just like iconic investigative partners like Watson and Holmes, Cagney and Lacey, or the Hardy Boys, you and Shopify make the perfect team for scaling your business. Shopify, the global commerce platform, is your steadfast companion through every stage of business evolution. From launching your online shop to opening your first brick and mortar store and even reaching the milestone of 1 million orders, Shopify is here to support your growth journey. Whether you're selling supplies or marketing killer merch, Shopify empowers you to sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Benefit from Shopify's unmatched checkout conversion rates, which are up to 36% better than other leading platforms. Leverage Shopify Magic, your AI-powered ally, to sell more with less effort. With Shopify, you have everything needed to elevate your business to the next level. Powering 10% of all e-commerce in the United States and boasting a global presence across 175 countries, Shopify is the driving force behind industry giants like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, as well as millions of entrepreneurs worldwide. With extensive help resources available, Shopify ensures that your success is fully supported every step of the way. Because when it comes to growth, businesses thrive with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/murderish, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/murderish now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/murderish.
Are you tired of battling through the dreaded pre-period week or struggling with menopause symptoms? It's time to reclaim control with Estro Control. When I'm not feeling like myself, I'm not able to show up as my best self for my family, my friends, or my podcast team. Luckily, I found Estro Control. The formula is designed to make that time of the month a breeze so you can finally feel like yourself again. And for those battling through menopause or perimenopause, Hormone Harmony is here to help. With their science-backed adaptogenic blend, you can conquer hot flashes, low moods, poor sleep, and more. Happy Mammoth, the company behind Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Join the thousands of women who swear by Happy Mammoth's products. It says something that a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Plus, the adaptogenic blend helps your body adapt to hormonal changes naturally. Whether you're dealing with PMS woes or menopause struggles, Happy Mammoth has you covered. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MURDERISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MURDERISH for 15% off today. On October 20th, 2007, just before 7 p.m., the Lorain County Sheriff's Office responded to a distraught 911 call from the Petricks' oldest daughter, Heidi. Heidi and her husband, Andrew Archer, arrived at her parents' house nearly 2 hours earlier than planned. That evening, the Cleveland Indians were playing the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. It was sure to be an exciting game, and the Archers looked forward to watching it with Mark and Sue. When Danny answered the door, something seemed very off to Heidi. He seemed reluctant to let her and her husband into the house. Danny claimed it wasn't a good time, that their parents had been arguing. In the distance, Heidi heard a faint moan coming from somewhere inside the house. Heidi and Andrew pushed their way past her little brother. There was no way to prepare themselves for the surreal and horrific scene inside. Heidi's mother lay on a living room love seat, covered in blood. Her father rested on the floor close by, with a wound on his head spouting blood. Gasping and frantic, Heidi called for help while her husband tended to his in-law's wounds. By this time, Danny was already gone. He sped away in the family's minivan before Heidi or Andrew had time to react. Sue was unconscious, but somehow Mark managed to tell his daughter that Danny had shot them. On the phone, Heidi told the dispatcher she thought her brother might have been involved in the shooting. She pleaded for help to be sent as quickly as possible. Paramedics arrived on the scene and transported Mark to the Metro Health Medical Center in Cleveland. Sue was not as fortunate. The 43-year-old mother of three was pronounced dead at the scene. She'd likely been killed instantly. In the blink of an eye, a night of family bonding and baseball had turned into an unimaginable nightmare. Law enforcement raced to track Danny Petrick down. Even if he wasn't responsible for the attack on his parents, as a witness, he could shed light on what happened. Danny was headed toward a friend's house when cops pulled him over. According to ABC News, he veered off the road and shouted out the window, "My dad shot my mom." Once Danny was in handcuffs, officers noticed something in the minivan. On the front passenger seat sat a copy of Halo 3. It seemed out of place at the time, but ended up being a key aspect of the case. Daniel Petrick was arrested for fleeing the scene of a crime, and then he was questioned under suspicion of murder. In early police interviews, Danny denied having any role in the crime. He claimed his father shot his mother during an argument and then turned the gun on himself in an alleged murder-suicide. This version of events did not make sense to investigators. Danny had run away moments after the shooting. He'd also been acting strange when his sister and brother-in-law arrived earlier than anticipated. If Danny had only been a bystander to a deadly disagreement, why'd he leave the scene in a hurry instead of calling for help? Detectives continued pressing Danny for answers while his father fought for his life. Mark Petrick had been shot once in the head. He remained in critical condition for weeks. Everyone in the Wellington area prayed that he would survive, but the odds were not in his favor. Emergency responders acknowledged that first aid measures taken by Mark's son-in-law had probably saved his life, but a long road lay ahead for him. According to the Times Gazette, Mark was put in a medically induced coma for 2 weeks. During that time, he had no idea that his wife of 23 years had passed away. Mark's recovery was long and arduous. In the 30 days that followed, he'd undergo 5 reconstructive surgeries on various facial features like his eye socket, jaw, and the roof of his mouth. To this day, Mark has a bullet fragment lodged in his jaw. Daniel's mother, Sue, was shot 3 times. According to the Plain Dealer, a bullet struck one of her forearms, indicating she had shielded her face in self-defense. Another bullet hit her chest. The fatal shot struck her in the head and was fired at point-blank range. It was a cold, heartless way to kill someone. Any child witnessing the execution-style murder of their own mother would have been severely traumatized. Detectives found it odd that Daniel was mostly emotionless. Any tears he shed seemed forced. Before long, the teenager cracked under the pressure. Daniel admitted to removing his father's 9mm pistol from the safe when he retrieved his Xbox game. He then used that gun to shoot both of his parents. The day after his confession, Daniel appeared at a juvenile court hearing. Due to the severity of his crimes, a judge determined 16-year-old Daniel would be tried as an adult. Since he was still legally a minor, the death penalty was off the table. James Kersey, Daniel's attorney, chose to forego a jury trial. Kersey presumed his client would not fare well if his fate was decided by members of his close-knit community. Daniel was held at the Lorain County Detention Home while waiting for a bench trial date to be set. At a pretrial hearing, Kersey requested that Daniel be taken into custody by his paternal grandfather, Michael Brokell. As quoted by the Plain Dealer, Kersey told the magistrate, "Just because what happened is horrible doesn't mean he has to be held. The boy isn't going to go to Guatemala or Costa Rica." Regardless, the motion was denied. On October 23rd, less than 72 hours after the shooting, the Lorain County Sheriff's Office held a press conference. According to the News Journal, Captain Rich Resendez updated the public by saying, "We believe that Daniel is the sole person responsible for this tragedy. He has given us some details about what occurred and indicated some of his reasoning, but we're not discussing any motive at this time." As quoted by the Springfield News Sun, when asked about Daniel's behavior during interviews, Captain Resendez said, "He was calm. He wasn't upset or unable to talk due to emotions. He indicated he was ready to accept his responsibility, but we're dealing with a 16-year-old, and I'm not sure he understands." The reality was that no one understood. How could a seemingly respectful young man kill his own parents, with whom, by all accounts, he had a close relationship? Danny Petrick just didn't seem like a heartless killer to anyone who knew him. Before anyone could start to heal or accept what happened, Sue Petrick needed to be laid to rest. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. Parenting has its ups and downs, but I've found the topic of money management particularly difficult. Let's face it, kids won't truly grasp financial responsibility until they're in the driver's seat. That's where Greenlight steps in. Greenlight is a game changer for families, offering a debit card and money app tailored to the unique needs of parents and kids alike. With Greenlight, parents can easily send money to their kids, while also keeping tabs on their spending and saving habits. Meanwhile, kids and teenagers gain invaluable money management skills and confidence in financial literacy. Through engaging games, the Greenlight app makes learning about saving, investing, and spending a blast. One feature that hits close to home for me is the chores feature. I vividly remember my childhood chores and how much more motivated I would have been If I knew there was a financial reward waiting for me after my chores were done. By setting up customized chores and rewarding kids for their hard work, Greenlight not only helps keep households organized, but also instills the vital connection between effort and financial independence. With millions of families already on board, Greenlight is revolutionizing the way parents raise financially savvy kids. It's the ultimate tool for making money management a seamless part of family life. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/murderish. That's greenlight.com/murderish to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/murderish. In a controversial decision, Judge James Burge of the Lorain County Common Pleas Court granted Daniel a private visitation the day before his mother's funeral so he could say his goodbyes. On October 29, 2007, over 500 people attended Sue Petrick's memorial service. Members of Mark's congregation were devastated by the loss. They recognized the focus needed to be on honoring her memory, not the tragic manner in which her life was taken. According to the Columbus Dispatch, Reverend Stephen Conrad announced to mourners, "We're gathering not to answer unanswerable questions. We're here to celebrate the life of our sister." In the weeks following the service, those with personal ties to the Petrick family grew more outspoken in the press. As reported by the Plain Dealer, members of the church's youth group shared that Danny had been on their Bible quiz team and excelled in regional and state competitions. He was skilled at quoting long passages of scripture verbatim. The team's coach told reporters, "Danny was very intelligent and friendly." Superintendent Victor Cardenzana told the Springfield News Sun about Danny, "We had no indication which would lead us to profile him as having a potential for violence. He wasn't a loner. He didn't get into serious trouble." Yet the Petricks' family friend, Kathy Stiles, pointed out the complexity of family relationships. "Some things are difficult to comprehend when you're on the outside looking in," Kathy said to the Springfield News Sun. "Sometimes within a family dynamic, you never know. He's a bright young man. When I would meet him, he'd always be polite, friendly." Regarding what could have prompted the seemingly kind teenage boy to kill his mother and critically wound his father, investigators could only come up with one driving factor. Mark had taken away Daniel's Halo 3 video game. It seemed like a ridiculous reason to commit murder, yet that was the only motive that emerged. The media began referring to Daniel as the Halo 3 shooter and the Halo 3 killer. This wasn't the first time someone turned homicidal, seemingly over video games. A 2004 case out of Deltona, Florida, involved the vicious slaying of six roommates. One of the victims had allegedly stolen the Xbox game console from one of the perpetrators. The motive was mostly revenge over an eviction, but the multi-person homicide case is often referred to as the Xbox murders. Cases like this often spark public debate and prompt extensive studies. The question at hand: can playing violent video games lead to violent acts? According to Britannica's nonpartisan site, procon.org, a peer-reviewed study in the psychology of violence revealed a surprising truth. It was the competitive nature of games that triggered aggression, not violent content itself. Games that were competitive but devoid of violent content still triggered an increase in hostile behavior. This means an intense game of Mario Kart can cause aggressive behavior just as much as a shooting frenzy while playing Halo. As recent as June 2023, a Psychology Today article revealed that several findings negated the idea that violent video games incite real-world violence. A game's level of difficulty was more likely to predict aggressive thoughts and actions than the presence of violence. As mentioned in Psychology Today, these researchers concluded that games can make people angry
just by being difficult to win. On the opposite side of the argument, simulated violence from video games has caused violent behavior in the real world. According to Bruce Bartholo, professor of psychology at the University of Missouri, as quoted by Britannica, more than any other media, these violent video games encourage active participation in violence. Video games are excellent teaching tools because they reward players for engaging in certain types of behavior. Unfortunately, in many popular video games, the behavior is violence. The debate about the impact of video games continues on. There are no definitive answers. As inanimate objects, it was easy to use video games as a scapegoat for Daniel Petrick's actions. But closer examination would reveal he committed a series of felonies of his own free will. While Daniel awaited trial, the Associated Press reached out to Microsoft, the publisher of Halo 3, for comment. As quoted by the website GameSpot, Microsoft's short statement read, "We are aware of the situation, and it is a tragic case." Daniel Petrick's two-day trial began on December 15, 2008, in the County Court of Common Pleas. He faced three charges: aggravated murder, aggravated attempted murder, and tampering with evidence. If convicted, the maximum penalty Danny faced was life in prison without parole. His plea of not guilty was rooted in an insanity defense. His attorney, James Kersey, sought to prove that video game addiction affected Daniel's perception of reality. Kersey argued, Daniel's isolation during recovery from his snowboarding accident caused mental instability. Kersey had his work cut out for him. Gaming disorder, or GD, wasn't recognized by the American Psychiatric Association until 2013, 5 years after Daniel's case was tried. As of 2023, a scholarly article from the Indian Journal of Psychological Medicine points out the complexity of gaming disorder based on game type, genre, and how the term gaming or addiction is even defined. The defense's strategy did not involve denying that Daniel shot his parents. This was a clear-cut case when it came to physical and circumstantial evidence. After all, Daniel had given a full confession. Kersey was tasked with convincing Judge James Burge that Daniel's gaming addiction elicited homicidal urges. Prosecutor Anthony Sillo said in opening statements that Daniel was a merciless killer. This had not been an impulsive act of brutality. It was a well-planned execution of two people who got in the way of a teen boy and his precious game. As Sillo explained, Daniel found it irrelevant that these were his parents, the individuals who gave him life. They were simply an obstacle. Surprisingly, the defense agreed. According to the Times Record, Kersey said his client's addiction was so powerful that anyone who got in Daniel's way was at risk. But that made the shooting sound like a spur-of-the-moment decision, when prosecutors knew it wasn't. Citing a report by juvenile psychologist Stephen Newhouse, Daniel had clinical depression. The rage he felt over being forbidden to buy Halo 3 compounded his dark mental state. But the report also stressed that the homicidal rampage was premeditated. Daniel admitted to the psychologist he had planned the assault on his parents a week in advance. His sister, Heidi, and her husband had thrown a wrench in the plan by showing up 2 hours early. Sillo also pointed out that Daniel had tried to pin the crime on his father. Mark Petrick, scarred from his surgeries but mostly recovered, took the stand to testify about the night his life was forever changed. According to the Plain Dealer, Mark said he and Sue were sitting in the living room when Daniel came up behind them and said, "Would you guys close your eyes? I have a surprise for you." Mark had expected a fun, pleasant surprise. Instead, he felt his head go numb as blood started to trickle down his face. When he looked over to where his wife had been sitting, he realized she was unconscious. Mark recalled that after he and his wife were shot, Daniel tried to place the gun in his hand. As reported by the Tribune, Mark testified that Daniel said to him, "Hey, Dad, here's your gun. Take it." Mark's statement supported the theory that Daniel planned to make it look like Mark had murdered his wife and then turned the gun on himself. Mark broke down on the witness stand when he shared a chilling realization. He only survived the shooting because Heidi and Andrew had come over early. Daniel might have continued firing if he had not been interrupted. Hey ladies, are you looking to level up your man's summer grooming game? Well, look no further than our friends at Manscaped. Get him ready to flaunt that beach body with their Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, the secret sauce for that perfect beach babe look. With our exclusive offer, visit manscaped.com, use code MURDERISH, and enjoy 20% off plus free shipping. Don't let him be the only one at the beach missing out on smooth sack summer. Show him some love and upgrade his grooming routine with Manscaped. My husband has impressive grooming skills, and I love that it makes him feel more confident. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, all-in-one grooming kit from Manscaped, and the Shears 3.0 5-piece precision men's nail grooming kit are the ultimate level up to any man's grooming game. From head to toe, the Shears 3.0 5-piece precision men's nail grooming kit ensures every detail is perfected with its nail clippers, tweezers, and scissors all in one convenient travel case. After all, grooming is a full body game. It's time to embrace summer with confidence and elevate his routine. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code MURDERISH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code MURDERISH at manscaped.com. Trust me, ladies, it's a gift for you before it's a gift for him. In a display of unconditional love and the complexity of being a parent, Mark also advocated for Daniel. He told the judge he'd been extremely angry at first, but over time, he had forgiven his son through prayer. Over the past year, Mark had visited his son in jail several times. According to the Tribune, Mark shared that Daniel had apologized, saying, "Dad, I'm so sorry for what I did to Mom, to you, and to the family. I'm so glad you are alive." Mark said he replied by saying, "You're my son. You're my boy." Heidi Archer, Daniel's older sister, was called to testify regarding what she had witnessed the night of the crime. She and her family had also forgiven Danny for his actions and wanted him to come home. Heidi urged the judge for leniency. She believed the family could not fully heal until they were all reunited. In the eyes of the law, though, personal forgiveness didn't hold much weight. There needed to be repercussions for the destruction caused by Danny's actions. Daniel was forced to face the outcome of his brutality when prosecutors exhibited photos from the crime scene. It was the only point during the trial that Daniel displayed any emotion. He looked terrified after catching a glimpse of his slain mother. He looked away from the screen while the remaining photos were shown. Additional witnesses called to testify included the officers who responded to the scene. They helped paint a picture of the amount of bloodshed Daniel had caused. Others took the stand in Daniel's defense, including his gamer friend, Jonathan Johnson, and Daniel's other sister, Holly. Jonathan explained that the human deaths in Halo are temporary. Slain characters have the ability to respawn or regenerate. Under cross-examination, Jonathan agreed it was possible that Danny didn't fully grasp the finality of death in the real world. Maybe he'd expected his parents to regenerate. As the bench trial came to a close, Judge Burge reached a verdict. Through his own research, he decided that video games could alter someone's perception of reality if played excessively, but the data wasn't definitive enough to qualify for an insanity defense. As quoted by the Newark Advocate, Judge Burge said, "I firmly believe that Daniel Petrick had no idea at the time he hatched this plot that if he killed his parents, they would be dead forever. I think that is the state of mind that this young man was in at the time of these events, that death would not be permanent." Despite the judge's conclusion on Daniel's state of mind, he also needed to factor in that Daniel had ended his mother's life and made a serious attempt on his father's. Judge Burge found 17-year-old Daniel Petrick guilty of aggravated murder, attempted murder, and evidence tampering. A sentencing hearing was set for June 2009. When the day came, many of Daniel's extended family members came to show their support. At the hearing, Mark begged the judge for a lenient sentence. He understood his son had to be punished for his actions, but strongly believed that Danny deserved a second chance. A sentence of life without parole would leave him without an opportunity for reform as a young offender. As quoted by the Times Record, Mark insisted that Daniel's age and lack of experience should factor into his sentence and said, "He still does not understand why he did something so terrible." Mark also shared that during weekly visits in jail, Daniel constantly said that he missed his mother. As reported by the Times Record, Mark said of Daniel, "He has severe regret and remorse and guilt. I see the pain and guilt in his eyes." Prosecutor Anthony Sillo pressed the judge for the maximum sentence. According to the Times Record, Sillo said Daniel had already received a break by avoiding the death penalty because of his age. Ultimately, Judge James Burge landed somewhere in the middle. There were three sentences that would be served concurrently. Daniel Petrick was sentenced to 23 years to life with the possibility of parole in the year 2030. Daniel will be around 39 years old when he becomes eligible for release. Judge Burge closed the sentencing hearing with a stark statement. As quoted by the Chronicle, Burge mused, "I feel confident that if there were no such thing as violent video games, I wouldn't know Daniel Petrick." The world had come to know Daniel Petrick's case fairly well. His case is often cited in research about how violent video games can impact a young person's state of mind. In the years following Daniel's incarceration, Mark has given countless lectures on the dangers of violent video games, as well as the power of forgiveness. Mark continues to work with experts who research juvenile homicide, hoping he can help prevent another tragedy like his. In 2011, Mark Petrick spoke at an assembly of parents and students at Ashland Middle School. According to the Times Gazette, Mark stated, "I never thought in a million years that something like this could happen in my family. If God hadn't helped me learn to forgive my son, I wouldn't be here today." He explained to the crowd that Daniel had not been bullied. He came from a good family and a stable home and never used drugs or consumed alcohol. Mark cautioned his audience to be more mindful of their media consumption, especially when it comes to violent content. As quoted by the Times Gazette, Mark suggested that everyone be extremely, extremely, extremely careful because it could be you. Mark has been very outspoken that the gaming industry should be held responsible for the damage their products cause. According to IGN, Mark promises, "I'm going to fight them. They put weapons in the hands of our children that teaches them to murder and that killing is okay." Many experts agree with Mark. True crime writer Phil Chalmers has spent more than 25 years researching juvenile killers. In an interview with Virginia-based WTKR News, he said, "The medical community has released a joint statement that says if children are exposed to violent media, they're going to become violent, but they make it politically correct by saying some or maybe. For the most part, Daniel Petrick has avoided speaking to the press." In 2012, his case was covered on the Investigation Discovery series, Killer Kids. According to HuffPost, in a rare interview, Daniel said about his decision to kill, "You just gradually push moral boundaries and values and priorities out of the way. Eventually, you don't even know who you are anymore. I just wanted to play the video games. I don't think anything short of me getting what I wanted would have stopped me." Despite any developments on this controversial issue, a 2015 attempt from Daniel's attorneys to appeal his conviction was denied. In 2021, anti-gaming crusader and disbarred Florida attorney Jack Thompson tackled Daniel's conviction, campaigning for a new trial. Thompson has built a reputation on activism against violent video games, including Doom, Grand Theft Auto, and Bully. Thompson believes these games and others like them have cultivated an entire generation of aspiring assassins. According to the Chronicle-Telegram, Thompson has often referred to violent video games as murder simulators. In a letter to Lorain County Prosecutor J.D. Tomlinson, cited by the Chronicle-Telegram, Thompson argued that Daniel's addiction to Halo 3 had him training to shoot his parents for months, and that the particularly violent game rendered him delusional. In 2018, the World Health Organization designated video gaming disorder as a clinical disease. However, the American Psychiatric Association has remained hesitant about including it in the DSM, or Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, essentially the psychology Bible. In the manual's fifth edition, internet gaming disorder was added, but that designation casts a wide net and includes addictions to everything from online gambling to social media. The DSM-5 clearly states the need for further research to diagnose internet gaming disorder. As of 2024, the latest edition of the DSM has yet to be released. According to the Chronicle, Tomlinson responded to Thompson's letter by writing, "Were research to show a casual relationship between video game deprivation and the level of violence demonstrated by Daniel Petrick in this case, that is something that should be considered. However, I do not believe that such circumstances would likely give rise to a defense in a murder prosecution. The questions presented by this case still linger. Violent video games have been scrutinized in many homicide cases involving young people, especially school shootings. But the reality is, a large percentage of gamers never go on to kill people. Were Daniel Petrick's actions influenced by graphic violence in the games he played? Maybe. Then there's the issue of Daniel's access to guns in the home. Perhaps the video games, coupled with his access to a weapon, made for the perfect storm." As of April 2024, 32-year-old Daniel Petrick remains incarcerated at Ohio's Grafton Correctional Institution. Going forward, technological advancements will likely force the American legal system to adapt and evolve. As we stand on the forefront of AI, gray areas of the law, like video gaming disorder, slowly become more prevalent. Even so, we may never have a clear answer as to whether video games influence behavior. Human beings are complex, and oftentimes there is more than one factor at play when someone commits murder. A mix of internal and external factors can lead a person to do the unthinkable. Only proving the complexity of human behavior, Mark Petrick has not only forgiven his wife's killer, he continues to love and support him. In a few short years, Daniel Petrick could be out of prison, and it seems likely that Mark will welcome his son with open arms. Given all that Mark Petrick has endured, hopefully his son's potential release gives him hope and something positive to anticipate. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you're listening to Murderish right now so you don't miss any new episodes. If you enjoy Murderish, please consider leaving a 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now. I'll be on Podcast Row at CrimeCon from May 31st to June 2nd, 2024. The event is being held in Nashville this year. If you're planning to attend CrimeCon 2024, use code MURDERISH at checkout for 10% off a standard badge. CrimeCon is always a great time. I've been attending for 6 years now, and it never disappoints. Use code MURDERISH at checkout for a 10% discount on a standard badge. Hope to see you there. Are you watching a lot of true crime documentaries and want a community of like-minded people to talk about them with? Well, you should consider joining the True Crime TV Club I started. We call ourselves the Serial Streamers, and we meet in my Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube comments a couple times a month to dish about all the crazy true crime documentaries we're watching together. If you want to join Serial Streamers, all you have to do is follow me on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube at Jamie On Air. That's J-A-M-I On Air. And then just watch for videos about the latest TV series we're watching together, so you can join us in the comments and share your thoughts. I also do a recap of all the documentaries we watch on Murderish. I call it like a Cliff's Notes version of the documentaries. A couple Fridays a month, new Serial Streamers episodes are released on Murderish, the podcast, and on my YouTube channel. I'm at Jamie On Air on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you want to join the community. This episode was researched and written by Allison Schwartz. Visit murderish.com for a list of sources used for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, listening to this podcast doesn't make you a murderer. It just means you're murder-ish. Murderish listeners, I need your help with a missing person case. 31-year-old John Gamboa has been missing since February 17, 2024, one day after he traveled to Mexico. John was last seen hailing a taxi outside the Mexico City nightclub, Montana Disco. At the time of his disappearance, he was wearing a maroon shirt with tan pants. John is a Filipino man and described as being 5 feet 5 inches tall, 185 pounds, and having black hair and brown eyes. He has a tattoo on his chest that says Jesus and an infinity tattoo on his index finger. Anyone with information about John Gamboa's whereabouts should contact the FBI's Houston field office at 713-696-5000 or reach out to your local FBI.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.